Well, I want to tell you a quick story before I begin the text of my homily. A father brought his little 7-year-old son to Catholic church one morning. The family wasn't necessarily a church-going family, but he felt like he had been raised a Catholic and he needed to expose his son to a bit of Catholicism. Well, the little 7-year-old boy was very precocious and very inquisitive. So the procession started down the aisle, and the little boy noticed that everybody was going like this as the cross came by. And he reached up and pulled on his daddy's shirt tail and said, "Daddy, why are people doing that?" He said, "Well, they do that out of reverence for the cross. You know, Jesus died on the cross, and it is our symbol, the ultimate symbol of the Catholic Church, and so we reverence the cross." "Oh, okay, Daddy." And then he saw the deacon and the priest come up the stairs, and they came over, and they kissed the altar. And the little boy pulled on his daddy's shirt and said, "Daddy, what does that mean?" He said, "Well, the altar is where our Lord Jesus is going to come to be with us in the sacrament of Holy Communion. And so out of respect to the earthly altar, to the earthly table that Jesus comes to, the priest and the deacon kiss the altar." "Oh, okay." And then it came time for the homily, and Father Mario, it's always Father Mario, Father Mario came to the pulpit. Now, you know it's an apocryphal story. You've never seen Mario preach from the pulpit. Okay. Mario came to the pulpit and took off his watch and laid it right there. And the little boy tugged on his daddy's shirt tail and said, "Daddy, Daddy, what does that mean?" And the gentleman looked at his son and said, "Well, with Mario, not much." I tell you that story because, first of all, I want to commend all of you for making it on time in spite of the time changes of the masses. Except this one in the 11 o'clock didn't change, but I'm still giving you credit for it, okay? But the only thing worse than changing the times of the mass schedule is a clock on the back wall that still doesn't work. So it's 20 minutes to 4, and I've got to finish to get you out of here on time by 10 o'clock, so 20 till 4 till 9:30. Somebody do the math. I got an hour, a couple of hours here. Anyway, enough picking on Father Mario. The theme of the readings, the lessons for today, is that offering the gift of hospitality always brings a gift from God our Father. Perhaps even more important than physical hospitality, at least in our world today, is the hospitality of simply listening to another human being and not cutting them off or screaming in their face. The hospitality of listening. The first reading from the book of Genesis is one of the wonderful readings that comes from Jewish scripture that reaches back before history. Old Testament professors term it prehistory. Reaches all the way back to a time before history books were born, and speaks of the relationship between Abraham and Sarah with Almighty God. In the Hebrew text, there is a lack of clarity concerning these three visitors, these three messengers in Hebrew, angelos, angels. These three angels who show up at Abraham and Sarah's tent. Later, this story becomes the basis of a great Orthodox Christian icon that was painted by Andrei Rublev. It is called simply the Trinity, and it was painted in somewhere around the year 1411. I wasn't there, but good job. Good job. You know, here's the difference. The deacon goes, "Can I get an amen?" And he gets a amen. I go, "Mario does." Okay. I think he's more holy than I am. 1411, and this great Orthodox icon has been a symbol, a way to enter into the mystery of the Trinity for 600 years. I hope that sometime later today you'll use that computer on your desk to do something positive for your spirituality and look up icon plus Trinity plus Rublev, R-U-B-L-E-V, R-U-B-L-E-V. Look it up and look at it for yourself. It's a magnificent icon of three angels who have come to visit Abraham and Sarah. Now, these two, Abraham and Sarah, are completely giving of themselves to these three strangers, these three persons who show up unexpectedly. And that's very appropriate for visitors who come and just appear on your doorstep in the Middle East. Hospitality is very, very important. And we can be pretty sure, because we know how the rest of the story ends, that these three persons represented God, the Holy Trinity. They represent God's faithfulness to His promise to Abraham that he and Sarah would eventually have a son. Now, you know, Abraham never doubted that God would keep His promise, but Abraham had thought that perhaps that promise was not what he thought it was. Maybe, now he knew that God was one who would keep His promise, but maybe he didn't quite understand what God meant by that promise. Because you see, now he and Sarah are very old folks. Old to the point that they don't have to worry about children any longer. And indeed, when these three angels reaffirm God's promise of a child, Sarah has gone into the tent to work on supper. Well, she actually gets behind the door flap and giggles. Right. Like, that's going to happen. Yeah. She had hopes when she was young, but now knows that humanly it is just simply too late. But you see, Abraham and Sarah are hosts to God in this very simple drama. They listen politely, even if Sarah did laugh. They offer hospitality without any conditions, but they're just not sure that they understood what God meant by this promise. Now, contrast that with the story in the Gospel of St. Luke today. Here, Martha, one of a set of sisters, Mary and Martha, is really upset. She is the host. But so is Mary. It's their home together. And again, Middle Eastern hospitality says you have to lay out food before your guests. She wants her sister Mary to do her part. Jesus never says that what Martha is doing, this hospitality thing in the kitchen, was of no value. Instead, Jesus simply states that there is a greater value than the physical hospitality. And that greater value is listening to the one who comes in the name of the Lord. That is of the greatest value. Only when we are able to receive others as those who come in the name of the Lord can we live the mystery spoken of by St. Paul in the second reading for today. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. St. Paul, in the letter to the Colossians, puts this mystery at the heart of our Christian life. True hospitality is, first of all, receiving one another as God's creation, as the presence of Jesus Christ himself. Now, I don't have to go and name names, but we live in a culture right now that does an awful lot of talking at each other. But I swear to goodness, doesn't talk to each other. And we've got multiple examples of people in high office and on the streets who simply scream at each other. And usually every time a microphone or a camera is put in front of their face. Hospitality demands pull up a chair, sit down, listen. Listen as if that person was sent to you by Almighty God himself. Now, I know we live in very busy lives, very busy world. And I know that sometimes we have to just step away from somebody and try to get on with our business. But dear Lord, come on, folks, let's try just a little bit harder as the people of God to model listening to one another, be it your boss, be it somebody at work, be it your spouse. I hate texting. I loathe texting. Do you hear that? Let me say that one more time, mainly because I just like to say the word. I loathe texting. You know why? Because I can't see your face. I can't see how you, the inflection of your words. I can't tell what's going on in your mind and in your heart. But goodness gracious, I've been at this, you know, more than 40 years. And sometimes if I'm just standing in front of you or sitting in front of you, you're telling me the words and I'm hopefully seeing more than just those words on a page. I'm seeing the desires of your heart. Now, I can't do that every time. I know. Sometimes I'm on the run. Sometimes I've got to get to another place in a timely manner. But when I can, I try to stop and listen. Listen as if you were a gift to me from Almighty God. That's all I want you to do. Just listen to one another as if that other person was sent to you by God in that moment. Only when we are able to receive others as those who come in the name of the Lord can we live the mystery spoken by St. Paul in that second reading, Christ in you, the hope of glory. St. Paul says it over and over again. This mystery is at the heart of our Christian life. True hospitality is first of all receiving one another as God's creation, as the presence of Jesus Christ himself. If we recognize Christ in one another, all the other details of hospitality will take care of themselves. When we see only another human being with flaws, with defects, with sins, with brokenness, then it's pretty easy to write that person off, to treat them poorly, or even worse. But when I take the time to see that person as a creation of Almighty God, redeemed by his Son, then I get a little different image of who that person is. Let us pray today for the grace to see Christ in the other person every day and at all times. Once we see Christ present, I think we'll listen and we will do works of mercy and hospitality that we never even planned to do. Amen.